You. Can everybody hear me? You. That's wonderful. Wonderful. That's our topic today. It's about servant leadership. And it's going to be my attempt to give you some idea what that looks like. But first of all, I'm going to start by asking you some questions that I want you to ponder on while I give you this message. Are you involved in the leadership of the church? Do you have a mentor within the church body? Are you mentoring someone in the church body? And if not, why not? Get in the game. That's what it's all about. Our focus this fall has been Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Last week, Chuck challenged us by asking for us to check our hearts. And he really convicted me when he made the statement, whatever's in your heart has your attention. And then he really challenged me when he asked, are you devoted or distracted? Hopefully some of the things that I will give you today will help you in that path of being devoted rather than being distracted. First of all, I want to share some Bible verses with you that will give you an idea exactly how focused Christ was in his mission here on earth. He shows us his devotion to God the Father, the purpose for his life, and his devotion to us. He is our supreme example of what we are to strive to achieve as believers in him. Nothing could distract him for his love for his Father. Nothing could distract him for his love for you or I. I want to begin by reading Psalm 22. And this is called the Psalm of the Crucifixion. This is what Christ endured on the cross for you and I. And I find some parts of this rather tough to emotionally get through, so please bear with me sometimes. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. If you, our fathers, put their trust, they trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for the trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Reserve all your descendants of revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened for his cry of help. He was completely devoted. As you listen to that psalm, you get some idea of what he endured on the cross for you. I want to continue with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it's how we are to live our lives in devotion to him. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who ran for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father God. Guys, Christ is our example. He tells us we are to run the race. He is the perfect author. Let me ask you, if Christ is our author and you're his book, what kind of book do you want to be? You want to be a bestseller? I hope, because bestsellers are well read. Or do you want to be a book that sits on the shelf and gathers dust? Or worse yet, do you want to be a book that's never even looked at and is thrown out with the trash? Are you involved in church? Are you mentoring someone? Are you being mentored? Remember, iron sharpens iron. Get in the game. Christ paid the price for all who believe in him. He died and rose that we might live eternally. Men, that is the ultimate price. With that comes a huge, huge expectations. Let me read Luke 12:48. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. If you believe in Christ, you've been given eternal life. I think that's much, and much is expected. Now, as we go to our focus verse today, 1 Timothy 3:1-16. Paul understands, I think, clearly what it means to be totally devoted, and tries to communicate that to Timothy to make sure that things are carried on within the church. And he gives Timothy a laundry list, so to speak, of what it means to be a deacon or an elder within the church. And I've broken that down into 10 areas of interest that we need to look at. And I'm going to hopefully challenge you in each one of these 10 areas with some very provoking questions. Most of that laundry list comes from 1 Timothy 3, chapter 2. In chapter 2, Paul writes, above reproach, are you blameless? In other words, he's saying, Timothy, make sure the people in the church have integrity. And what I would challenge you with is, are you quick to improve areas in your life where your integrity is not what it's supposed to be? Are you quick to improve those areas in your life where it's your integrity is not what it's supposed to be? We continue in verse 2. Husband of one wife, do you love your wife? Do you honor and cherish her as a gift from God that she is? Again in chapter verse 2. Temperate, self-controlled, respectable. Can you control yourself? Can you control yourself so that you can serve others? That's a pretty high expectation in this world. Are you hospitable? You warm? You welcoming? Are you like a block of ice? If you're a block of ice, you need to work on it. Are you able to teach? Do you help others grow in Christ? Iron sharpens iron. Get in the game. Not given to drunkenness. Are you sober? Are you sober-minded? If you drink, are you watchful? Are you watching who you're influencing? Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Are you approachable enough that you can be a peacekeeper to others? Not a lover of money. This is the part that convicted me. What has your heart? Has your attention? Do you manage your family well? Do you manage your family well? Are your kids well behaved? Do they respect you? Do they respect you for your Christian attitude? Do they respect others around them? And not a recent convert, good reputation. Are you a sound Christian? Are you a good example of the faith that we profess? Well, that is Paul's short laundry list to Timothy. And it specifically says in here, as you look, an overseer or deacon. Now, if you're sitting out here this afternoon and thinking, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not a deacon or an elder or any kind of church leader, you're dead wrong. As a Christian, you're supposed to be different. You're set apart. You're created to be set apart by the Creator of the universe. He created all things for you and you. But Paul doesn't leave you out either. Let me read what he says in verse 14 and 15. Although I hope to come to you soon, Timothy, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. Servant leadership. I love how Paul puts this. He teaches by summary. He's gone through, he's listed these characteristics twice and gives no one an excuse. Period. I'm going to leave you with one question. What kind of book are you? I hope he authored a bestseller in all of you. Father, I just hope today as these men go to this discussion that the words that you've laid on my heart can get men in the game and serve and be leaders within this community. Amen.